I've seen hard times, and I've been told, is it any wonder that I fall? Why do we suffer, crossing off the years? There must be thank you.
Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we have great expectations in our hearts, Lord, because we are your children, Lord, we're the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, we come here this morning looking to you, offer and finish of our faith, and give us that which we need today. So Lord, we know that you have blessings for your children. We just wanted to surrender ourselves to you this morning. Lay our hearts open before your throne of mercy and grace, Lord, that you would be able to come and speak to us, Lord. That you would not find any hesitation at all in our hearts, Lord, to say amen to every word that you would give to us this day, Lord. We know, God, that we are your people. And Lord, in such a dark hour, we also know, God, that you have a great blessing, triumph, and victory for your people. We thank you, Lord, for this day and ask for your blessings upon the service on Easter. Lord, every heart, pray that you touch each one, both in body, spirit, soul, Lord, that they would be stronger in their walk. Deal with the services, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let the musicians go to their seats. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, praise the Lord. My wife wanted to need to be sure and tell you that she sends her greetings to each one of you, and I know that she, her mind is probably on service right now. I don't know how she is, but she sends her greetings to you, and so I told her I would do that, and so I've got that taken care of, so I've redeemed myself, because if I forget, and she asks, you know, then I'd have to say, well, I kind of forgot, or something like that, but anyway, we just thank the Lord for this day, and it's good to see each one of you out to be gathered around the Word of God. You know, we live in a time where every one of us need to find our position in Christ, and we need to get there. And we need to become very, very convinced of Christ and our position. Brother Daniel and I were talking a little bit earlier about this, and you know, from henceforth, I know it's always been this way, but from henceforth, we're basically where the rubber meets the road for the bride message. So, because the level of persecution, the level of things that are coming our way and coming our way shortly, it certainly will separate the men from the boys, you hear that phrase. But so we really need to know where we stand in Christ Jesus. He'll get us through. Yeah. And man, we'll stay with his word, just follow exactly what his Bible, his prophet, all the types and all the shadows declared this hour, what it would be. It's not a surprise to us. Right? We're not surprised at what we see because we've been told for years it was coming. But, so we certainly want to just, you know, find our place and be in Him. So this morning I want to talk about redemption by seed. So we'll go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 5. Redemption by seed. Amen. This is probably one of the scriptures that has probably been used more than any other scripture in our day, because we are in a time where it's bride time. So Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Amen. You can be seated. So have the Lord ask the Lord to give a blessing to the reading of his word. Redemption by seed this morning. As I said, we live in an hour that's very tremendous, and we certainly live in a time where we don't want to be found not standing for the word. Right. We're in a moment where every eye of the world is looking upon the bride of Christ, eyes of condemnation mostly, but they're watching. And so it's important that we stand with the word and we know where we stand in this hour. And so I'm going to be talking about God's definition of marriage this morning. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, why did God define marriage the way he did? We know that God has defined marriage as being a man and a woman, and being coming through a ceremony and having a marriage ceremony, and that it's restricted only to the relationship between a man and a woman. And so we could ask ourselves, why would he do that? And I think we all know this, but I think that God could give us some more instructions out of the scriptures so we can see some parallels as to why he has it the way he does. All this modern uproar, all this stuff that you see in the news, all the things that are rising up that's coming against the Christians, and the agenda for same-sex marriages and all that sort of thing, every bit of that is just a struggle over power and over worship. Because if you remember, back in heaven, Lucifer decided he wanted to be God, and he decided he wanted to be worshipped, right? He wanted to ascend up and become like God. And so he set forth his little plan that caused all the things that he did. And so now he's here on earth. He's here on earth, and all those angels that got kicked out, they're here. And Satan is still desirous to be like God. He still wants to have power, and he still wants to receive worship. And so he has gone into the nations, and he has anointed the peoples of the world, and he's anointed the governments of the world. And I don't know if he understands it or not, but he probably does to some degree. But he's anointing the world and the governments of the world and the people of the world to bring to pass scriptures. That's all he's doing. Because remember, he's only a tool in the hand of God. And so he might think he's doing something, and he might think he's getting away with something, but really all he's doing, he's just taking himself right into destruction. He's fulfilling the word of God. God's letting him set the condition that God might swoop down and redeem you out of the midst of all of it.
That's right.
And that's all he's doing. Satan has no more power. And so I know that, you know, when you read the articles and you hear the things like that, and it tries to strike fear in the hearts of the people, we need to remember that. That Satan is not a creator. God is. Satan has no access to third pool. You do. Right? Right? He has no access to spoken word. You do.
Right?
I want everybody to understand that. We have access to spoken word. It's for you. Satan does not have that. And so all this is just a uproar of Satan trying to come to his pinnacle or whatever, and we know the scripture says that he'll have just a little while, he'll reign for 1 hour, that sort of thing. Of course, it'll be after the bride's gone, because remember, when the bride goes up, he comes down.
Yeah.
Right? When the bride goes up, Satan comes down. He who now letteth, right? When he's taken out of the way, then that wicked one will be revealed, right? So when you go up, because you are holding the full forces of Satan back, it may not look like it, but you're holding him back right now, and when God takes you, then chaos comes in its fullness.
That's right.
So you're not appointed to wrath. You're not appointed to those things. Obviously, Satan's wrath is against you, but you're not appointed to the wrath of God. And so it's just a struggle over power and over worship. And of course, this world does not want God. This nation was founded as a godly people that came here for the religious freedom, get away from the tyranny and all the things that they come from, and how that we broke away from Britain and the monarchy and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a history buff, but America was formed as a godly nation, and it was deeply rooted in the Constitution and all those things like that. But the American churches have turned away from the Word of God. They don't think they have, but they've turned away from enough of the Word of God that there's no more strength and no more power in their walk. And in that condition, they have voted in everything in the world into office until the point that now we've got more people up there. We've got enough people in office and in authority above us now that they're going to do what they want, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it. That's right. You reap what you sow, and when you let things slide long enough, it eventually gets to a place where you can't correct it, and you're going to get a whipping over it.
Yeah.
So the American Christian people have a spanking coming.
Yeah.
That's right. Because they have, now I'm not talking about the bride, okay, but the mediocre church who has rejected the real power of God, the ones that rejected the gifts of the Spirit when Pentecost had that restoration, the ones that have rejected the restored Word, those kinds of things, and yet they still go to church, they still pay their tithes, they still have healing lines and things like that. They have a certain element of those things, but you see, there's a certain portion of the Word that they've left off. And because they left that off, they had no keeping power. And so they've got just as much divorces in their midst as the rest of the world has. They got just as much drug abuse in the church as the world has. Because they left the keeping power long ago. And so because of that, they've elected all these people, put all these people in office. And now they've got a rogue group of people up there, a government that's going to do what Satan has put in their heart to do. And it's no surprise to us, because a prophet told us in the Scriptures. We see the patterns. We know the Scripture said that as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed, right?
Yeah.
So we're not surprised to this, but you know, it is kind of surprising to wonder how it is that that a nation that is built on godly principles, that they're the one leading the pack.
Yeah.
They're the one leading it. I mean, for crying out loud, a Russian leader is looking at America and go, "You people, you're supposed to be a Christian? Look what you just did."
Right.
And other nations are coming along and they're saying, "You know what? We're gonna show you." And they start rallying of marriage, having rallies about marriage is the right way. Because they're absolutely protesting this nation. Why? Because this nation turned away from God. They have nothing to hold them anymore. And so they put these people in there, and they're going to do what they want. Most people view the Bible as just a book of do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And you know, for a people who are born in sin and they have a nature of sin in them, and all they know to do, because they haven't been changed inside, they haven't had a new birth, all they know to do is run in the excesses of the world. And when anything comes along and says, "You don't need to do that," they don't like that. They don't like somebody telling them they can't go out and have fun and do all the things they do. You understand what I'm saying? They don't like it. Why do they not like it? Because they don't see that and the value of what that's all about. So people view the Word of God as a book of do's and don'ts, and that's all they see it as, and they don't like it because it tells them they can't have fun to do the things that their nature inside wants to do.
Yeah.
See? So they don't see the reason for the do's and don'ts. They don't see the reason for the Word of God and why the Word says, "Thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that." They don't see the reasoning. Because if they could see the reasoning, they would see the nature and the character of a loving God. If you want to talk to someone, you know, really, people aren't going to go along with you until they see it in their own heart.
That's
right. And once they see it, whether you go or not, they're going.
Yeah.
See, they'll go with it because they see it from within. And that's the problem. The church world has failed to get the experience to the people so that something happens inside them, and now they are on board with why God wants it this way.
Yeah. Right.
But I can tell you for certain that everything that God has ever done has always been righteous. Even when he commanded to have wicked people destroyed in the Old Testament, it was righteous acts. It was righteous things that was going on. All because, what are we talking about? Because we're talking about God and what he chooses to do to try and purge his people and try to separate evil and good from each other. It's all righteous. Everything God has ever done has always been right down the line for your good. It may not look like it, but it's always for your good. There's never been anything, and there never will be anything, that God would ever put in place or institute or want and desire and command in his word, but what it's good for his people to promote life and not death.
That's right.
If there's something else that comes along in there that's opposite of that, you know it's Satan doing it. It's not God. God is the author of life, and he's the giver of every good gift. So the Bible is not just a book of do's and don'ts. But that's all people see it as until they have a new birth, until they can see that, you know what? These things are really a loving God that's trying to help us, guide us, and bring more life to us. So when you see the reason behind it, then you're going to see the nature of God, and you're going to see the motives of God. Now, how many, we all know that we need a Savior. Human race needed a Savior. And so we also know that that God is the only answer for that need.
Yeah.
Always has been, always will be. His character and his nature automatically makes him the only choice. The only solution. Not a choice, but the only solution. Because he's the only one with the character and the only one with the nature to do what I just said a while ago. That he'll always make a decision. He'll always institute things that's for your behalf, for you, even more so than for himself.
Yeah.
That's the nature of true divine love, is to always pour itself out for the one that it loves rather than for itself. And so his own character and his own nature, that in itself set him apart to be the only one that can answer the needs of people needing a Savior. And so his plan, he went into action, and his plan was to come down first to become one of us, because he had to be a kinsman and a redeemer, right? So he had to be human. He couldn't be an angel from heaven. He couldn't be a theophany that just appeared like he did to Abraham. He'd have to be born of woman, feel the pains that you and I feel, have the hungers that you and I have, and be associated with everything so he could be tempted just like we are.
Yeah.
Right? And in that condition, pay the price for our sins.
Yeah.
So that he could hang on Calvary and feel the shame and the suffering and the fear that you would have felt if you were there on Calvary. You understand what I'm saying? So he had to become us to experience that judgment that was due us and have the same conditions upon him like we would. So he fully was kinsman and paid that price. So his plan was to become one of us, pay the price for our sins, then take us in a union, marry us, take us into and become one with us, and in becoming one with us, place his seed in the womb of our heart. That's the plan of redemption. That's what redemption is all about. When we read the scriptures there a while ago, the husband is the head of the wife, and he's the Savior of the body. Who's the body of Christ? The bride. She is. She needs a Savior. Her Savior is her head, which is her husband, which is Christ. He's the Savior of the body. And it makes the parallel, it's showing us the parallel, and I hope everybody's seen that, the parallel between husband and wife in the natural and Christ in the church in the spiritual. Paul said it's a great mystery. It's a great mystery what I'm saying here about this arrangement between man and woman. It's a great mystery. However, he said, I'm speaking of Christ in the church, but nevertheless, let every man have his wife. Right? Let every man have his own wife. And see that the man take care of his wife and let the woman reverence her husband. Okay? And so, God is the only answer. His character is the one that, his character is what made it to be that way. And so, his plan was to come, become part of us, to be one with us, and die for our sins, and place his seed within us. He is the only form of eternal life. I mean, he's heard that. I know you have. He is the only form of eternal life. So, if he wanted to save you, then he's got, somehow he's got to get that life in you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We're talking about redemption. We're talking about why the marriage arrangement is man and wife and man and wife only. Husband and wife.
Right.
Okay? He's the only form of eternal life. He's got to get that in you somehow. And so once that life is in you, then you won't die either. Right? So you are lost, but he's going to redeem you. So he's going to redeem you by this process of becoming one with you, going into a holy union with you, and placing his seed within the womb of your heart. And that's how he redeems you. And so, in order for him to save us, he has to get that life within us. And the only way that you can do this and do it right is through the act of marriage. Marriage is the only... Now we're getting down into the nitty-gritty here. Marriage is the only... it's the only legal and legitimate way to pass seed. It's the only legal and legitimate way to place seed within the womb. Anything outside of the covenant of marriage is not correct. Okay? And so the marriage is the only form that's accepted by God that this can be done. We find out that she is saved, and I've said this already, but she is saved in marriage and by the placing of seed. So that's why the title, Redemption by Seed. So she's saved by the placing of seed. It is his life that he places in you that saves you. Right? It's his life that he places in you that saves you. And once he does that, once he places that life within you, you cannot be lost.
Amen.
Right? You cannot be lost. Let me read a quote Brother Branham gives, and I know you're familiar with this, but just to bring it up into modern-day terms of the message, this is marriage and divorce. And Brother Branham was talking about here in the situation where God had came down, and he came to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he had two angels with him, and he was talking to Abraham, and he had already told Abraham, change his name and all those things. And so he came to Abraham, and he told him, Abraham, your wife Sarah is going to have a baby. I'm going to come back at the time of life and you're going to have a child by her.
Yeah.
The thing with Hagar and all that stuff had already happened. And God said, you're going to have a wife by her. And Sarah was not standing outside. She was in the tent back inside. And the scripture said that Sarah overheard it.
Yeah.
Overheard, and she didn't have a revelation that Abraham did. But Abraham knew this was God because he called him Lord. Right? Singular, Lord. There was three men there, God and two angels. Abraham knew God, said Lord.
Yeah.
But when the two angels went down to Sodom, Lot said Lords.
Yeah.
So Abraham knew it was God, but Sarah did not. And when God spoke to Abraham and said, Sarah's in her old age, Sarah's going to have this baby, she kind of laughed. She laughed and said, me?
That's right.
An old woman? And my husband being old? How could this be? Well, you know, she comes out, and the Lord says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah denied it.
Yeah.
Sarah is standing before Almighty God, and she denies what she just did
yeah.
to the face of God. So she basically called God a liar.
Yeah.
Would you like to stand in the presence of God and call him a liar face to face?
No.
No. And I would, you and I would probably think, you know what? That's done with her. She's going to be a toast in about a millisecond because she called God a liar. But listen to what Brother Branham said about it. He said, why didn't God kill Sarah for sitting right there, lying right to him face to face? God sitting there in mortal flesh, eating bread, drinking milk. And he said, why did Sarah laugh behind there in the back? And behind him in the tent, saying, how can these things be? And Sarah said, well, I never said it. And he said, oh my, tell God he's a liar to his face. He's talking about God. He said, but he could not take her. Why? Because she's a part of Abraham. And he couldn't hurt her without hurting Abraham. Now you women see where you belong. And the Bible said, you women be like Sarah was, which adorned herself in modest apparel, living honest and true to her own husband, loving him so much that she called him her Lord.
Right.
How many knows the Bible said that?
Yeah.
Calling him her Lord, ruler, ownership. If I was lost and totally undone and I needed someone to save me, and that person came and saved me, wouldn't that be some sort of a purchase? Wouldn't I owe that person something? You understand? So when he saves us, we belong to him, right? We're not talking about like a slave, but he deserves the right of our honor and our gratitude for saving us. It belongs to him because nobody else had the character. Nobody else could be kinsman redeemer. Only he. And yet he performed the rite of redemption. It cost him a great price in order to do that. And so he deserves our gratitude. He deserves our loyalty. And all he's asking, he's not asking us to be a slave. He's asking us to be his wife. Because he loves us. Now the world wants to paint this in the picture and make it look like bondage. Oh, and I tell you what, maybe, and this may sound funny, but maybe some of you sisters might look at me and say, Brother Tony, if I was married to you, it would be bondage. It would be terrible. It would be awful. But it didn't to my wife, because she loves me. You see what I'm saying? So, what am I saying? If you're in love with him and you're inside the covenant with him, it's not at all bondage. It's not slavery. It's honor. It's glory. It's life. And we're happy to be part of him. Because that's who he is. And so, Brother Branham says, why didn't God destroy Sarah? And here's the concept here. The reason why is because Sarah, Abraham had already placed seed. Sarah was one with Abraham, and God would not and could not destroy her because, why didn't we just read it? We just read it just a little while ago. That no man ever hates his own flesh. If a man hates his wife, he's hating himself. A lot of men don't know this, like now. But if you don't treat your wife right and you don't love her the right way and you're not what you're supposed to be for her, you're basically destroying yourself because that's your own body. Right? Right, that's that. And so God honors his own word. So if God wanted to destroy Sarah, he would have been destroying Abraham. Because that was Abraham's wife. They were one. And God will never do that. And that's why she can stand there and lie to tell God he's a liar to his face and get by with it. Not be destroyed. And that's why that when Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, she was in transgression. God could have come down to her and destroyed her. But Adam loved her and Adam went to her quickly. And therefore when God came to the situation, God could not destroy her because she was one with Adam. Everybody follow that? So there's no way that God can, if once Christ ever places the Holy Spirit in your life and places that germ of his word down in your soul, he can never destroy you, even when you make big mistakes. He can never do it. But that's the key. That's the key issue. When once he's placed that seed in there, it's finished. So you got to make sure that's where you're at.
Yeah.
Amen? You got to make sure that that's really what's going on. Not just some worked up enthusiasm and you know, because people will go with the crowd. You sit with the crowd long enough, you may hate football, but if you sit with a crowd of football fans long enough, after a while, it's going to rub off on you and you're going to start rooting like they do for the team. You see what I'm saying? That's the human spirit. Our spirit blows with the wind.
Right.
See? And so we want to have something, not just a bunch of enthusiasm or not just the way the wind's blowing. We got to have a seed placed within us.
Yeah.
And listen, when that happens, the wind ain't going to blow and change it.
Yeah.
Right? The wind's not going to blow. The government's not going to change the law and change your mind. Because you've got something growing in you.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So we must have that. And that grows within us is the Word of God. Because we're in union with Christ. And He is the Word.
Amen.
So we can only birth the Word. That's what we've got to come to. To a place The word what's in our bosom, what's burning and growing down inside of, is only the word, thus saith the Lord, nothing else. And so outside in our flesh, we might lean this way, and even in our thinking, we might have the wrong thoughts from time to time, but it'll always come back to that which is growing within your womb, which is thus saith the Lord. See? They might take you and put you on the rack and stretch your bones and make you cry out for mercy. And maybe with, even with your voice, you might say something that, that might sound contrary to the word, but in your heart, you know what truth is. Yeah. Amen? I believe if you found yourself in a time like that, that God would, there'd be enough grace of God there that you wouldn't even have to worry about it. But you understand, we got to have that birth. We can't just be coming to church and saying, well, I pay my tithes, I'm there most of the time, you know, unless I'm on vacation or whatever, I'm there. You can't just say that.
No.
You got to know that you come into an encounter with Christ Jesus, that you know you've met with Him in a private relationship, and He has placed something in your heart that you know has changed you forever, and you can't reverse that. And you know what? It may not show just right off the bat, but when a woman is impregnated, eventually it shows. She can't hide it. She can't hide it. The man can. He can walk along. I've said this before. Husband, you know, his wife can be expecting. He can go to work every day for those 9 months, and nobody could ever look at him and tell something was fixing to happen.
That's right.
But it's not that way with her. You look at her, and after a while, she ain't going to be able to hide it. She's going to, like Brother Daniel was saying, she's going, that woman at work that he worked with, she's trying to hide it or denying it. But after a while, you know, you come to a place, you go, you know what? Yep, I got something in me, and I can't deny it. I have met the Word. I have the Word growing within me, and I cannot deny it even to this rogue government.
Yeah.
I cannot deny that. You know?
Right.
So, and that's the situation. God can never kill us once. When once He places that in there, He can never kill us. He can never destroy us. Why? Because we're one with Him. Yeah. And He'll never do that. And so, life will only come, now we're talking about redemption, and redemption is done by seed. Everybody follow that. Christ come down to redeem us, and the way He redeems us by placing His life within us, which has to be done through the act of marriage, which is a ceremony and all those things. So, we're talking about the placing of seed, redemption by seed. Life can only come when seed is placed in the womb of a female. Can only come that way. No, there won't be any life any other way. No other way. Only in that way will life come forth. So you see now, what are we talking about? Redemption. How is it that now we can be redeemed? Well, we can be redeemed now because there's a life of Christ in me. I can be redeemed because now He's in me. Because He placed Himself within me. Remember when they talked about foolish virgins? And it talked about, many will say to me in that day, haven't I cast out devils in thy name and done all these mighty works in thy name? And He said, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
That's right.
Now, here we're talking about God who knows everybody. Right? He knows every person, every star. He named all the stars in heaven. There's trillions of them. He has them all named by one. It's not that He didn't know them, who they were, but He didn't know them. And what am I talking about? And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived.
Right.
So what He's saying there is, yeah, you cast out devils, you did all these things, but you never allowed me to impregnate you with the Word of life.
Yeah, right.
Because if you'd ever done that, then you could enter in because that's redemption.
Right.
You entered into it where I actually was redeeming you, then I couldn't say I didn't know you. See? And then when the foolish virgins came there, He said, I know you not. I'm not taking you into this marriage behind the door, and I'm not performing the act of knowing. I know you not. Because you played around. You know. So she has to come up some other way. And so we know foolish virgins are saved in a different manner. So, it only works when it's placed in the womb of a female. And so you see what's happening here when all this uproar and all the decisions of the land, what is it all about? It is about Satan anointing the people against God and against God's form of redemption. So we need, in our scripture we read, it shows the parallel between Christ redeeming the church and on the natural husbands and wife. And he said they run parallel. He said it's a mystery. I'm telling you it's a mystery, but I'm speaking of Christ and the church.
Yeah.
So they both are the same. There's a husband, there's a wife. He's the Savior to her. She is his body. He must love her, give himself for her.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
She must honor, respect him. And she is redeemed because he has come from left his father and mother. He left heaven. He come here to redeem her. He has cleaved to her. He's done whatever he had to do to give himself for her.
Yep.
I know, brothers, this is the way we should live for our wives, see?
Right.
And Paul said, I know this is a great mystery, but I want you to understand, I'm speaking of Christ the church. I want you to understand that arrangement, but I'm telling you also, I'm talking about husbands and wife. So let every man have his wife, and let every woman see that she reverence her husband. So he establishes that parallel very quickly. So here's the parallel. In the natural, and I'll get to a quote here in a minute, just hopefully to show you this, but in the natural realm, let's say in the church, in the worldly church, who are guilty of not being in the right relationship with Christ as husband and wife, in the midst of that, the members of that in the natural are not in the right relationship with their husbands and wives. Everybody follow me? But in the bride of Christ, those who are in the right relationship with Jesus Christ will not their natural marriages and their natural interactions with husband and wife, will they not also be right? Because a Christian in the natural is a declaration of the right thing in the spirit. See? So if God defined marriage as a certain thing in the natural, it's because that certain way in the natural that he has defined declares the proper relationship of Christ and his church. So if he laid it out and said, this is the way I'm going to redeem my church, by me, a man, coming down in a male form and impregnating my wife, the female, and this is how she'll be saved, through childbearing. This is how it'll happen spiritually. Then he says, nevertheless, then I'm going to show that also in the natural, so in amongst the people who live with according to God's word, they're going to do it the same way. They're going to be right. They're going to be correct. Their marriages are not going to be all filthy and messed up. So in the natural, when people move away from the correct things that God has established, then what are they living? They're living out a testimony that testifies to something that's a lie. Right? They're testifying a lie. If they want to make it sound like marriage can be redefined, then what they're saying is that the type of what they're doing, it has to carry over into the spirit, and you'll find out that it does. That the physical perversion that's going on in the land is also a type of what's going on in the spirit. Okay? So that's what's under attack. God has an imagery of the proper form of redemption. The natural husband and wife and the relationship and the way they come together and the way that seed is passed under those parameters. That is a natural declaration of the righteous method of God on how redemption takes place with his church. Okay? That's exactly what it is. So what's out here is not just that. It's not just people wanting you to compromise and just allow something like that. How could you allow something that you know is a lie? Because if you say amen to this, then you have to admit that the perversion that's taking place on the spiritual side has to be allowed too. Right? Everybody follow me, the parallel. If you say that the way the world wants to pass seed and the way they want to conduct their life, the perversion that is, that's a type over here where the church is perverted. And I'll get to more details in that a minute so you understand what I'm talking about. If you say amen to the natural, then you've got to accept the false teaching of the church world because that's a type of it.
Right.
And we can never do that. See? So this is not just because people want to live a certain way. This is Satan behind the scenes trying to anoint the whole world to point to something that's a lie. And there's no life in it. So the parameters, that's what's an attack. So husband and wife in unity is, you've heard this said before, husband and wife in unity is the image of God. Husband and wife dwelling together in unity is not just the image of God, but it's an image of redemption. Because that's how it's redeemed, when a husband and wife are in unity with each other. That's how redemption is displayed there. But there's proper parameters to that relationship. There's proper parameters for marriage. And God placed those parameters. He's the one that set those in order. And so we're going to talk about that just for a little bit. How many knows that there has to be a ceremony first? You, Brother Branham was talking about that, and he said, a man told him, said one time, said, well, Brother Branham said, because Brother Branham said, you know, you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the scripture said, you have to be. And a man said, well, why does it matter? Why does it matter about whether it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Says, you know, and Brother Branham said, well, there has to be a ceremony. He said, you don't just come and take your wife and say, come on, Miss Jones. Right. And you go off living. That's common law. But he said, there has to be a ceremony. And he said, so when a person is baptized, he likened that to a ceremony. He said, you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a ceremony declaring your association and who you're associated with. And it's a ceremony. It's your public confession that he is now your Lord. He's now your husband. You know, that's what he was trying to show there. And he said, so anybody that's baptized any other way than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is an adultery baptism. It's an adultery baptism to be baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Because that's not, that doesn't tell you the name of who it's talking about. Because Father is not a name, Son is not a name, and Holy Ghost is not a name. Those are titles of the different offices that God holds. So that's why the scripture said, you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so when people do it that way, there's no clear reckoning of who the name is, so it's an adultery baptism. You've got to declare by ceremony who it is you're marrying. Right? And then once you enter into that ceremony, that covenant, then the passing of seed is legal. Right? Only then. Not any other time. I don't care what the world says, because remember, they're pointing to something that's going to be a lie. Yeah. Their spiritual doctrine says you don't have to be associated with a name and a ceremony. And that's what they try to say. Well, you can do it this way, you can live together, you can whatever. But you see the perversion, it carries over to the same thing on the other side. Yeah. And so, there has to be a ceremony. And in that ceremony, in this process of marriage, he has to leave father and mother. He has to be a man. He has to grow up. Yeah. And he has to leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. Yeah. All the security, all that, whatever he had with his father, with his, you know, in their home, he's got to strike out, because now he's becoming the leader of a house when he takes a wife. So he has to leave his father and mother and cleave to her and do all the things the scripture said there. And she must become one with him and lose her own identity to be identified with him.
That's right.
This has to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I hope this don't step on any toes, because I really don't know how you conduct your finances, but it irks me when I see a man and a woman, and the man's got his bank account and the woman's got her bank account, and the way they're all squabbling, well, you pay this, no, I'll pay that. You know, they can't get along in their finances because they're always back and forth. They're not shared. Listen, brothers, it's one household,
amen,
one man with his wife, who's his body. You see what I'm saying? Conduct yourself like Christ does to his church. He doesn't have two sets of books. You understand what I'm saying with his bride? He does have different books, the book of life. But for her, I mean, you know, her responsibility is on his shoulders now. He doesn't try to split it up and divide it up. And so I know those circumstances are out there, and those people have troubles because they don't know how to fully become one with each other like they're supposed to. And so I work with a guy that his family's that way. And it's always been a problem for him. And so, you know, husband and wife need to know what one another is doing. They need to know everything about one another. There's not supposed to be secrets. So, you know, if he keeps his own little bank account, then he can go spend money for himself and he thinks she don't know about it because he's trying to keep it hidden.
Yeah.
He's not being fair to her. Same way with her. She's over here doing it. That's nonsense.
Right.
There's a oneness that is here. And that oneness we have in our homes should be exactly like it is with Christ in the church. Right?
Yeah.
And so, we certainly don't have any secrets from him, do we? He knows all about it. And you know what? He's telling us all his secrets too. Right? He certainly has come down to do that in this hour. So he has to leave father and mother. She becomes one with him. She loses her own identity, takes his name. He places seed within her. And this is how redemption process works. There's a scripture in 1 Timothy, I think it is. She'll pull that up there. We'll read it real quick. Several scriptures. We're familiar with this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach or serve authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. She shall be saved. Didn't say him. Why? Because he's the redeemer. She's the one that needs redeemed.
Right?
She's the one that needs redeemed, and she shall be saved if what? If he places seed within her. In childbearing. It's not like that every woman's going to die in childbearing, but if they're good, righteous people, they're going to live. She's going to live. See, that's what it's saying. But it's speaking of this concept that the redemption works. She'll be saved in childbearing if they. I hear people quote this and say, she'll be saved in childbearing if she. It doesn't say she. What does it say? If they. They who? Both her and her husband. And it's important because why? Because Korah and Dathan and their wives, were their wives, did they have children from Korah and Dathan? Sure they had children. But who did they marry? And the lot that fell upon them fell on them, on the wives. See what I'm saying? So when Dathan and Korah got destroyed, or Achan and all his people, you see what I'm saying? So it matters if they. So if you marry someone who is in the faith and in charity and all that, that's the concept here, and who is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're married to him, his righteous, his reward, everything that comes him gets lotted to us. If we marry the devil, we get that lot. Right? But the concept here is that who she marries up to and who she becomes one with, that's going to be the lot that comes her direction. Because it does matter who your husband is. And there is someone there that was ordained to be your husband. So she shall be saved in childbearing. And so now to our original scriptures there. For this cause. Paul says Christ did all these things and for this cause. This is why the natural husband-wife relationship is the way it is, because it types Christ in his church. For this cause, the man shall leave his father and mother. For this cause, it shall be thus and thus. Everybody follow me there.
Yeah.
For this cause, the marriage, the declaration of proper marriage is for this cause. We cannot endorse something in the natural that points to something contrary to spiritual.
Yeah.
We know that Christ is the Savior to the body. So we have to live that way and accept that as being the way it is in the natural also. Everybody follow me on that. So, all right? For this cause, the arrangement is that way because of Christ. And that's why marriage is defined by God the way it is. And that's the only way that redemption works. It's a natural marriage is a declaration of redemption in the Spirit. And nothing else will work, whether it's natural or spiritual. There's no life if natural marriages are not done according to that pattern. You'll never see life in it. Never. There will be no children born. There will be no happiness. All it will be just sinful, lustful filth. But there will be no life in it because it's not according to the original pattern. And so everybody understands that. I know you know that. So, it must be man and woman. Now, we all play the part of a female that we need Christ to impregnate us with His Word. Everybody follow? Then my relationship, if I want to be redeemed, because I need seed to bring redemption, am I going to get that if all I go to is I go to the church for a relationship? Because the church is a female. So when a female goes to a female for a relationship, you get no life. You get no redemption. Follow me? This is not just natural and not just saying in the natural you don't get life, you don't get children, but this declares in the Spirit, you don't get life, you don't get eternal life if you don't come God's way. So you can't go to the church expecting to be impregnated because it's not going to happen. You're not going to get life placed in your womb if you only know the church. You've got to know Christ. If the male, as Brother Bram said, the chickens, if the male bird has not been with the hens, you get a whole set of eggs, but you'll get no chickens. You might put the eggs on the table and eat them, but you'll get no perpetuation of life unless you've been with the male bird. And we'll never have a church that continues on with the power and the authority of God unless they have been with Christ Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? So female going to female, someone just trying to have a church experience, it won't work. See? That's your lesbian side. Right? Did you know that even Lucifer, when he anointed the serpent in the garden, even he knew not to try and go to Adam? Because it wouldn't have worked. Satan knew he couldn't inject himself into the humanity if he tried to go do something with Adam. He had to go to her. Even he's smart enough. You know, the Bible says the devils, they believe in one God and they fear and tremble. Yep. But them devils that believe in one God and fear and tremble come down and lie to you and tell you there's three gods.
Yep.
Right? Satan knew that it don't work when you take a male and a male. But he tries to convince people it works. Right? He knows it's not going to work for a person to come into the church and have a church experience. So he knows that, but he convinces everybody else just to stop at the church instead of going on to Christ. Now you see why? What's at attack here? It's not just the morals of the land, but those morals declare something behind the scene that's a lot more detailed than that. And it's speaking, if you follow this in the natural, there's no life. And if you follow that in the spiritual, there's no life. And they're one in a hand because natural is spiritual. Natural husband's wife, spiritual husband's wife. So there's more at stake than just that. It's really going back to the very core of what was it? Here's how God saved humanity. And Satan wants to destroy that image. Satan wants to destroy the very image of how God saved man. So he just pulls it away from what God, his natural, what he put in place there. The world says it doesn't have to come God's way. That's what they're saying. They don't have to come God's way. And the way they do things, that they're removing redemption from the placing of seed. Because it has to be by a marriage covenant, and then it's okay. If it's outside of a marriage covenant, there's still no redemption. It's got to have the covenant, and then it's got to be male, female, for redemption to work. You've got to have a relationship. You've got to come to Christ. There has to be a marriage. There has to be a place in the seed. Then it works. Anything outside of that, just a dry confession. Just a dry confession, an experience with the church, you know, just something else that's perverted. But there's only one thing that works, and that's why on the natural we cannot go for the things they are saying out there, because, see, we know it's not natural anyway. But I'm showing you that there's a spiritual side to this that doesn't work just like it does in the natural. And so there's this quote with Brother Branham, and he's talking about in the visible union of Bride of Christ. And this is one of the quote I was saying that I try to get to in a little bit, where it's he says, "And now today we see the church natural in an intellectual gospel going further and further away from the Word of God in a social gospel. And we find that the women of the world on the streets, members of such." Did you catch that? The church world going away into an intellectual gospel. Right? We see the church world going into this intellectual gospel. And he said, we find out that the women on the streets in the world, members of such, are doing the same thing. What you see the church world doing in perverting away and trying to marry up with something that's not right and becoming very slack, there's no holiness about it anymore. You see the church world going that way, and members of such, they're the ones you see out on the street that you call the people of the world. They're just like the world, and that's what he's telling us. Members of such, we find that the women in the world on the streets, members of such, are carrying themselves in the same atmosphere. And you can't tell them. They've lost all sense of common decency, the people have. And that's the way the church has. Right? So you can't talk to them anymore. Whether you're talking to the church, trying to tell somebody in the church world about the truths of God's redemption, they won't hear it. You try to talk to people in the natural on these issues that are before us in the land, they won't hear it. Right? It's what he was talking about. And they're religious. They're religious people. That's why you see all these churches. How many seen it in the headlines? All these churches changing their tune now to go the way the world is. Well, we found out it was wrong. We were wrong by saying that the Bible condemns homosexuality. Oh, really? They're reading a different Bible than I am. Right? They're reading a different Bible. But it's in the news everywhere you look. Great big influential men, worldwide influential men in these churches and these church organizations, and they're changing. I think even that one of them was the Southern Baptist, I think it was, but one of them I seen the other day, even they are changing what they're saying about it. And so you understand that's the way they have to go, because the power of God, they left it a long time ago. And so they're members of such. It's a religious thing. But to the world. To the world. This is how it's become. There's no sacredness to passing seed. To them, they can do whatever they want. And you know what? But if it's not God's provided way, if it's without a ceremony, it's illegitimate. If it doesn't come God's provided way, there's nothing. There's no life in it. Man can redefine it if he wants to. Okay? It don't even belong to him. I've said that before, but man can redefine his idea of what marriage is if he wants to, but the blessing of God will not be in it. I don't care what they say. The blessing of God will not be in it. Because it's Satan behind the scene anointing them to remove redemption. If you take a husband and wife and they get married the right way and they have children, there's a strong power of redemption in that family. That family can be established, and they'll grow up to be a lot better people because they've been established around something that had a foundation to it. But when you pull away from that imagery and have it any other way, what are you going to get? They want to tell you they can have all that, it's going to work. It won't work. A child needs a mommy and a daddy. Not just a mommy and no daddy. Or two mommies, or two daddies. They need a mommy and a daddy, because that's the way it was given by God. And so, it has to be that way. So it's Satan behind the scenes removing redemption. And so, when it doesn't come that way, the power, the redemptive qualities that's present in that home is gone. Everybody follow me? And whenever it comes to a church, and they want the church in their spiritual matters wants to go to one of these perverted, changing of things, the redemptive quality is gone. They'll not be there. they will not be there. I'm going to read you the scriptures. This altar and lifestyle stuff, they will not be there because there's no redemption in that act. Because they left the redemptive way. See what I'm saying? So, they can redefine it if they want and say the blessing of God's not going to be there because they have removed redemption from it. The true believer, how can we ever endorse anything? I said this a while ago, but how can we ever endorse anything that doesn't speak of Christ?
Yeah.
We cannot be endorsing and standing for something that's going to tell people a lie and let them go down a pathway that they think they're going to be saved at the end, and when they find out they're not at the end. We are responsible to tell them now that that's a dead-end street for them. And we got to do it in love and humility, but, you know, and I know that there's a lot of people made a bad name for the church because of the way they do stuff. But there is a correct and sweet and humble way to stand for truth, and that's what we want to do. And so, people don't want to live according to God's way because they don't see His redemption. If those people realize, you know what, it's got to be this way because we're not going to be redeemed if we don't, they go with it. Okay? They don't want to live in God's way. Well, don't worry, they won't have to. Because he's never going to let them in on the other side. I know that anybody who hears this is going to really cause a blow up, but it's the truth anyway.
Right.
He's not going to let them. So let them marry whoever they want, place seed in whatever way they want to, but it's not God's arrangement, it's their arrangement.
Right.
And he's not going to let them in his kingdom. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. To endorse those things is to endorse a lie. Endorse something that's not right. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, now this is who's not allowed in the city. Who's not going to be allowed to be brought in through redemption into that city. For without are dogs. And that's not talking about the ones that bark on the street. That's not what it's referring to. But for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers. That kind of fits in the pack, doesn't it? Whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Anything that points to something that's not true. Right? Now let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just almost done here in just a minute or so. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Did you know that? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. You know what effeminate is? Look it up. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Is there anything I misinterpreted about that? Is it pretty much black and white, clear? Right? But now listen, God is always going to have a testimony. And He's not going to condemn an age because he lived in such things, but what He has of people there who come out of that age that were redeemed from it. They'll be the judges of that age because the grace of God is poured out to the world. He'll have some people who accept it or are set free from those things, and they'll stand there as judges on that day. And so Paul said, these will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But, and he said, and such were some of you. Some of you used to be like this. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? So there is redemption. There is a saving power in the earth today to take people from this lie that's in the land, to make them think they can live whatever they want to, way they want to, and a church can preach and live whatever way they want to. There is a saving power, but you've got to come out of her, my people. You've got to come out of the worldly scientific church, as Brother Branham called it, and you've got to come out of the worldly filth And God will save you from all that. And when you're saved from all that, you won't be extortioners. You won't be drunkards. You won't be idolaters. You won't be adulterers. You won't be effeminate. Right? You won't be those things, because such were some of you, but you are sanctified. You are justified. Right? You're cleansed. So it's there. The gospel is still there to save people and to bring them from such things as that. But for those of us who believe, you know, we wouldn't want to compromise with it anyway. But there's another, not just we would do that just simply because we see it in the Word like that. But when you see that testifies to a lie that even carries over onto the spiritual side, then you know what we have to stand for. And so we want to just be as honest and straightforward as we can with it, clear, humble, meek, kind. Because that's the hour God said we'd come on this earth. We want to do our part to stand true. Amen. So let's let the musicians come up. I couldn't see the clock back there because the battery's gone down in it, I guess. I put my, so it's 12 noon now. Let's all stand. We're singing songs, Brother Tim. It's one here for us. Amen. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
How many still believe His truth?
Yes.
You want to go that way, go the way of the Lord's despised for you. Let's worship the Lord just for a few minutes before we go. Good fisherman, and he did a lot of fishing. An annoying person, known him for years. Spent a lot of time in a boat with him fishing. He was a very good fisherman, and he could catch fish on a lake when nobody else could. I don't care how cold, how hot, whatever was going on, he could throw an artificial bait out there and bring fish in, and everybody else would come around and wouldn't know how he did it. He was very good at it, and he did a lot of fishing. He liked to bowl. He did a lot of bowling. He liked to drink. He did a lot of drinking. He liked to hunt and camp, and he did a lot of hunting, and he did a lot of camping. He liked sports, and he enjoyed it a lot. And now, he's afraid of dying. He's in bad health, and he's afraid of dying. And I'm saying all that because of Satan wants you to spend a lot of time on a lot of things that gives you a temporary pleasure. A temporary enjoyment of this and of that. And maybe you can say, well, there wasn't anything wrong with fishing or hunting. No. Except that while all that time was going by and he was enjoying all that, there was a loving Savior who was standing on the side being ignored. And so, we certainly don't want to spend all of our life having our days occupied with things outside of redemption. And so, I said all that, you know, in mentioning this fellow, that all those things, he had a lot of good time with him, but where are they now? What benefit are they from now when he needs peace in his heart? Because those things don't bring peace. And so, we live in an hour where we certainly, with the days ahead of us, we want the peace of God to pass all understanding, no matter what comes our way. We want the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so it would do us good that we'd spend our time and make sure there's nothing wrong with fishing, nothing wrong with hunting, as long as Christ is first. Of course, if Christ is first, then His Word is first, right? Then living for others and living for Him and living for your family, those things come first. And in many cases, you'll find out that people who live according to those excesses, that God isn't first, their family's not before themselves, and that sort of thing. And so they're not really living for one another, living for their wife, like we read. But we don't want to spend our time on things that's not going to lead us to peace with God. And we live in an hour where we really need to start, we need to be putting things in the bank, because there's days that we're going to need to draw reserves from. Amen. So be diligent, saints. We know what the message has told us. We need to stay focused. Stay focused and stay close to God. Keep Him as number one. Amen. Keep Him as number one and let Him live through you so that you live for others. And you do your part, God will take care of the rest. Amen. He will make sure that we have what we need when that time comes. And let's bow our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, we come to the end of the service this morning. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to be in Your house. And Lord, we pray that You would just take the things that have been spoken, Lord, that You would break it down to Your people, Lord. I know it didn't come out exactly the way I myself and myself desired, Lord. But I know it's the things that are truth, Lord, I'm trying to share with the people, Lord. I pray that You break it down and cause them to understand it clearly, Lord, where we must stand in this hour, this tremendous hour that You said would come. We pray, Lord, that You would give a special anointing upon each one as they go from this place, Lord, to this whole week. Lord, may there be a special presence among them, Lord, and they can sense that You're there with them, fellowshipping and wooing them. Lord, may that be the case from this day forward. We want to say no to this world and say yes to Your Word, Lord. And when this world despises and rejects You, and they try to cast down every right thing that points to You, it points to your redemption, I pray, God, that You would give us the strength, the anointing, the know-how, the spiritual withal, Lord, to be against those things and stand for righteousness, Lord. We know, God, in this hour that the way things are going is short, that You'll summons us on high. And I pray, God, that between now and that time comes, that we will be diligent, Lord, things that are of Christ. We pray, God, that You help each one. We ask, Lord, You touch Bill, Lord, give him a fast and recovery, Lord. That the healing that he needs for his body, the pain, you take it away. Lord, may he look back upon this and somehow see that there is a growth of Christ in his soul as he went through his battle, his trial. Bless him, Lord. Bless his family and each one of his services, Lord. Lord, may you go with him. We ask you in Jesus' name.
Just for a